Welcome to another message from LifePoint Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer that this message will help you live in focus every day. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
I want us to explore what would happen if we believe with God all things are possible. What would happen? What would be the result of that? How would that manifest in our life, in every area of our life? If we believe God for a breakthrough spiritually, what would happen? What would happen in your life if you believed God for a spiritual breakthrough? That where you are right now spiritually would change and you would go to a different level. If we believed God for generations, what would happen? If we believed God for connection among one another, what would that look like? If we believed God for influence within our community, how would that manifest? See, true faith is founded on what you believe about God and what He is capable of. The key is getting a clear and correct view of God. How many know there's a lot of people that have skewed views of God? And I would dare say a lot of us in this room, there's been times and there has been seasons in our life where our view of God was not a biblical view of God. It was oh my flesh view of God. The key is getting a clear and correct view of God, believing that God is actually who He says He is and that He can do what He says that He can do. See, I've been in this long enough now as a pastor to know whether you aren't even sure if there's a God or you've been serving God for a long time, that you and I have to continually stir our faith. That you and I have to continually add to the flame that burns within you, the deposit that the Lord has placed within you of His Holy Spirit, that we have to stir that up. Because if you don't, what happens? You get bored in your faith because you've settled. And when you start playing it safe, living from the comfortable spot, from the easy chair, because you can go through the motions really easy, it gets dangerous in a bad way. Let me ask you a question this morning. When was the last time you did something for the first time? Specifically in reference to your walk with God. Neuroscience tells us this, that as we age, our brain becomes more rigid. How many would attest to that? You know, that we start living out of memory instead of making memories. How many have found yourself doing that? I mean, I think about that and I was like, yeah, I do that. You head to work in the morning and you go the exact same route every single day. And you get to work and then you're like, how did I get here? I don't even remember my journey to work. Have you ever done that? That's like really scary, isn't it? And it wasn't because you were texting. We hope, but it was just because you just have the routine down, man, and you go. So here's what I want you to do this week. Do something really dangerous and living on the edge, okay? Go a different way to work. See if you make it. Shake it up a little bit. But in all seriousness, I think the same thing can happen with our faith. We start living out of memory of what God did. And thank God for what He did in the past. Amen? But does it bother anyone that sometimes the rearview mirror of what God did seems a whole lot bigger than the front windshield of what God wants to do? All through the New Testament, belief, trust, and faith all come from the same root word. They are a continuum of one another. So as believe is our theme for 2015, what does that mean? What does it mean to believe for a breakthrough, for a spiritual breakthrough? What does it mean to believe together for the generations? What does it mean to believe for connections in reference to life groups? What's it mean to take it from here and here and take it out there and influence the culture that we're a part of? Through this series and through this year, we as a church, because it's not about me, it's not about I, it's about we, as the body of Christ, will have some practical applications to give us, to get us there. Opportunities to participate in some things, and a challenge to be a part of this journey together as we believe. Because you know what? I don't want you to be satisfied where you're at. I don't want to be satisfied where I'm at. I want to believe God for big things personally, but also corporately in our life. When we think about spiritual breakthroughs, and we're going to talk about that today, when we think about connecting together and growing in our faith and doing life groups and all that stuff, and we think about influencing our community and the possibilities of what lays before us, and we think about believing for the generations, and we gather and we assemble together, and there's just not just this, you know what, I'm going to be drawn to those that are most like me, that are in my demographic, which is natural and that's not wrong, but that we would go beyond that and there would be something that is a God thing going on in our midst. A part of this thing is that you know, this Believe series and this Believe campaign, and we're going to talk more about it, but you know, we're going, I'm believing, I'm dreaming, I'm the board and I have talked over the last several months about possibilities, and so we're going to do a campaign through the year of 2015 where it's our prayer that we would believe God for, outside of the general tithes and the normal operating budget of our church, that we'd believe God for $54,000 extra to go towards something big beyond us. That would go towards outreach, that would go towards spiritual development and discipleship, that would go towards facility enhancement, and that God, we would see God work in a tangible way. I believe it can be accomplished. I don't know about you. And I believe, and my prayer is that Believe would just become this mantra through this calendar year among us, that we would be exhorting each other in that. So as we get started this morning, I want you to go to Mark chapter 9, if you would. And I love the Gospel of Mark because it's action-packed, it's fast-paced. It's like the Cliff Note version of the other Gospels, as Mark just kind of dives in and begins to explore and communicate to us the things that Jesus is doing. And I think part of the reason Mark focuses on the high points, if you will, is because he wants people to believe. The first portion of Mark chapter 9 is a mountaintop experience, if you will, where two kingdoms collide. Jesus takes his three amigos, you know, Peter, James, and John, up to the mountaintop, and they're gathered there. Luke chapter 9 gives us Luke's perspective on this event, and Luke tells us that Jesus went there to pray. And so he's praying, and as he's praying, there was some morphing going on within Jesus where deity was leaking out. And the text uses the word, he was transfigured before them. Because this is what happens. Things happen when you pray that won't happen if you don't pray. And one scholar writes this about this experience. He says this: the word transfigured describes a change on the outside that comes from the inside. It is opposite of masquerade, which is an outward change that does not come from within. Jesus allowed his glory to radiate through his whole being, and that mountaintop became a holy of holies. And as you meditate on this event, keep in mind that he has shared his glory with us and promised us a glorious home forever. In fact, John chapter 17, verse 22 through 24 says this. Jesus says, I have given them the glory. Listen to this. This is what Jesus has said. I have given them the glory that you, speaking of it to his Father, have given me. According to Romans chapter 12, Paul writes this in verse 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we read this, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory being transformed into his likeness with what? With ever increasing glory, which comes from the Spirit who is the Spirit. See, so what is happening there is it's saying that believers today can experience that same transfiguration of glory. Now, it may manifest a little bit different in our lives than what happened with Jesus, but the reality is what is the goal of transformation? It's his glory. We can never forget that because it's always about his glory. It's not about you and me. There is this availability, therefore, for a breakthrough in your spiritual life. Think about it. These three guys hung with Jesus, true? They'd been with him, right? And they saw Jesus heal people and cast out demons and calm the waters and change weather patterns and supersize a kid's meal and feed thousands. And now they're experiencing the presence and the power of God in a new way. And their response is this: is it good for us to be here? In such a holy moment, in such a holy place. And what do they want to do? They want to build some tents because they want to camp there and they want to stay there. They're not quite sure how to respond to this event that's happening before them. Because how many know, I mean, this is a mountaintop experience. Have you ever had one of those experiences where you're just like, man, I just wish I could stay here, right? Because those are just awesome times and you love, we love those. But below is the valley, and we know what happens in the valley. The valley's dangerous. Testing happens in the valley, and you have to put your belief into action in the valley. But in the valley, that's where things grow best. And if you want to grow, you have to keep stretching. And I want you to notice two things real quick. Is Jesus took them there to pray, Luke 9 tells us. And then God said, listen to my son, Mark chapter 9, verse 7 tells us. And prayer and listening are key to having breakthroughs in your life. One of the tools that we'll be using as life groups launch here in a few weeks is Mark Batterson's book, Circle Maker. And our life groups several life groups will be gathering and using that material as a launch into discussion. And I want to encourage you to pick up that book and read it and let it speak into your life. Let it deposit faith and trust and what could happen within your spirit. He writes this about praying bold prayers. Mark Batterson does. Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. God isn't offended by your biggest dreams and boldest prayers. He is offended by anything less. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they're insulting to God. Why? Because they don't require divine intervention. The greatest moments in life are the miraculous moments when human impotence and divine omnipotence intersect. And they intersect when we draw a circle around the impossible situations in our lives and we invite God to intervene. I love that. And I think about that even this week as I sat in my office at the front end of the week, and it was Monday afternoon, about 3 o'clock, the phone rang, and the office had been pretty quiet that day, and the phone rang. And I picked it up, and it was Aurora Taylor. She said, "Hey, Pastor, I just wanted to give you a quick call. I just got back from the doctor's office, and it's gone." I said, "Wait a minute. The report's negative. That it, like, when you say gone, you're like, it's gone. It's like, doesn't exist. It's gone. The cancer is gone." "Yeah, that's right. It's gone." Isn't that awesome? Now, I don't know, as I think about that and as I ponder that and I celebrate God, I say, thank you, Jesus, for doing that and being involved in that situation. Because it wasn't too long ago that we were gathered on a Wednesday night and a bunch of us gathered around her and we prayed for her back in the back north wing of the building before our prayer service. And she was believing God and calling out to God. And now months, just, I don't even know if it's been 3 months since we did that. She calls, it's gone. I can't explain why God answers some prayers and not others. But that doesn't excuse me from praying. And that doesn't excuse me from believing. The second thing that we see here real quick is just this whole thought of listening. I love it when God speaks crystal clear, don't you? I've had such times in my life where it was just like on the wall. It was just like, yes, that's what God wants me to do. And it was really easy to walk that out. Even if it was a hard deal, it was really easy because it was like, God's with us. He's in this and let's go. But the majority of time, it's gentle, it's soft, and it's really quiet. And it's hard. And he gives us his word, though, to bring clarity during those times. Can I just say to you, as you begin a new year, not knowing what your devotional habits are, not knowing what your devotional patterns are, not knowing what your patterns in reading God's word to you are, time in his word is absolutely essential. Because this word is him speaking to you and I. If we can't be obedient to what this is saying for you and I to do, then how are we going to hear him prompting us if we can't even be obedient to this? Do you understand what I'm saying? And so you and I need to find ourselves, whether it's a chapter, whether it's a few verses, whether it's several chapters. I don't think it's so much the quantity as the quality of that time. And you're like, I don't know how to do it. Let me just give you a simple tool to use. And I think I've mentioned this before, and I thought about illustrating it, but I didn't know where we'd be on time. So I just want to give you a simple tool. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this is a verse that just ties right into this topic this morning. And it says this, "And we, with an unveiled face, all reflect the Lord's glory, being transformed into his likeness with an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." If I was to take that verse and say, my pattern is I get up and like around 5:15, 5:30, and I wake up Caleb to get him ready for school. And while he's getting ready, I'm having my quiet time with the Lord. And I'm opening my Bible. And I'm reading through scripture, and I'm doing this. It's my scripture. Okay, I'm reading, for example, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm reading that chapter, and I'm saying, God, let something stick out to me. And I read through chapter 3, and verse 18 pops out to me. And so I'll write 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and I'll write that passage of scripture out, that verse out. And then I will do an observation. What is happening there? Why is that there? What's going on there? And I'll make a quick observation. And then I will do an application. I'll write an A and then a dash and then application. How is this speaking? Why is this speaking to me today? What's the application that I'm pulling from this portion of scripture? And we, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with an ever-increasing glory. What's the application in my life for that? And I may write something to the effect that, you know what? God is in the process of transforming me. Why? To reflect his glory. He is not done with me. I have not arrived. I need to continue to be pliable and search him out. I may write something like that. And then I'll write a P with a dash, and I will just have a prayer. I'll write a prayer in reference to that portion of scripture. What I just did is I gave you an acrostic for soap. Scripture, observation, application, prayer. And I'll do those. And I find myself when I do that all through the day, it's very easy to pull back what I read in the morning. Because how many of y'all have done devotions and you're like, got going into your day and I'm like, man, I have my devotions today, but I don't remember a thing that I read. Have you ever had that happen? Maybe you guys should come and preach because I've had that happen. You know, where that's happened. But anyway, let's move down the mountain. On the way down, Jesus discusses with them his ultimate purpose, which is his atoning death. And upon coming to the other disciples, we read this in Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And this is really what I want to talk to you about this morning. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them. And the teachers of the law arguing with them, which was common. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. The man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." Verse 19, "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied. "How long shall I be with you, stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It often throws him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Verse 23, "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father explained, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciple asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Some versions put prayer and fasting. Have you ever been frustrated spiritually? This had to be one of those moments for the disciples. For us, it's only three chapters away from Mark chapter 6, verses 6 through 13, where Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, these same characters that couldn't drive out the demon, where he sent them out, and they were doing the things that Jesus was doing. But now, weeks, months later, with all of them together, they're failing to do what they had just did. Ever been there? What you believe is important. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or you're not a Christian in this place this morning. I think we can all agree with that statement. What you believe is important. What we believe makes a difference in our lives. What you believe is what you act on. What you believe about the origins of life. What you believe about relationships, what you believe about money, what you believe about morality. Let me ask you, do you believe that ideas have consequences? Court cases are determined by who is a believable witness. The big church, the capital C church, the church across the globe, has a belief. It's called the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in the work of the kingdom? That God is at work now. That God is at work among us. In lives that are represented in this place this morning. And those that couldn't be with us this morning. And those that are yet to come to Life Group. To Life Point. Do you believe that God is at work? That God is wanting to work in you and through you for his glory? Do you believe that? Jesus put it this way in John chapter 6, verse 26. John chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, believe in the one that he sent. And then Jesus says this in verse 40, For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The question isn't, what do you believe? The question is, who do you believe in? See, God's kingdom is eternal, isn't it? It's stable. There's mystery to God's kingdom because you and I can't figure it all out. Have you ever tried? Because it's really frustrating if you do. But there's mystery there, and it's immeasurable. While our kingdoms are temporal, they're unstable, they're obvious, and it's very miserable. Believing is hard work sometimes, isn't it? But it's worth it. So you can't casually believe. You casually have opinions, but you don't casually have convictions. You develop those. Those are deposited within you. And in our Mark text, I love the rawness of it, the reality of it. It's easy to identify with the dad, isn't it? In Mark chapter 9, verse 22, we read this. It is often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus says, if you can. Everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father explained, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. The dad affirms that Jesus can do it. He had heard the reports around town about this man who is a miracle worker, who is doing incredible things. But would he do it for me? Would he do it now for my son? And Jesus says everything is possible for him who believes. And we understand that's not a blank check, is it? It's not us manipulating God. But there's a couple things that are required there. There's two conditions to seeing that become a reality. One is that God's will. The second is that of believing faith. And as we wrap this up this morning, let me ask you a question. If you were approaching the finish line of your life, and none of us know where that is, but just hypothetically today, if you were approaching the finish line of your life, would you have any regrets? Would there be any statements within you that would say, I wish I would have lived what I believed better? That I would have believed God for more? If you said yes, I would agree with those two statements. Then listen, all things are possible to them that believe. I want to encourage us. My prayer for this service this morning is this. Let's, God, help us to kick the embers of our life. Help us to kick the embers of our spiritual life. That there would be a fresh flame billowing within us. Here in a few weeks on February 1st, which is a Sunday. The first is a Sunday. Tim Inlow is going to be with us. And Tim Inlow, I guess you could call him an evangelist if you want to call him that, but I don't know if he would call himself that. But Tim Inlow, really, God has just put it within his heart. His whole message is in reference to the Holy Spirit. And he does an awesome job on communicating who the Holy Spirit is. And God uses him in an incredible way in introducing people to the Holy Spirit. And he does it in a way, God uses him in a way that's not like woo, like spooky or anything like that. Because I don't think the Holy Spirit's spooky. And so Tim will be with us on the Sunday morning, and then Monday and Tuesday night, he'll be with us. And on Monday and Tuesday night, Full Circle will be with us as well. And they'll be leading us in worship, and it's just going to be an awesome time. And I just want you to come and just put it on your calendar and say, you know what? I'm going to go, and I'm going to fan into flame that which God has put within me, because I don't want to stay where I'm at spiritually. I want to grow. I want to know him more. The morning ends around the same conversation that it began with. After Jesus casts the demon out of the boy because he's greater, and the disciples are with him in private, because how many know there's some things, there's some questions that you don't ask in public because reputations are at stake, right? And so they come to Jesus and they ask him in private, why couldn't we drive him out? And he replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. See, prayer is where the power lies. It says to me that there are seasons when we have and we need to amp up our prayer life. And sometimes if you are pursuing a breakthrough, you have to push a little bit harder. You have to do things to place yourself in a position where you're normally not living life from. Again, that's one of the beautiful benefits of fasting. I told you last week, I absolutely hate fasting. I hate it because I like to eat, especially coming off the holidays. I need to fast, but that's the wrong reason. But I hate it. But yet I know and I've experienced the benefit and the beauty of it, where I say I separate myself from some physical stuff and I use that time to plug into the Father. And I rearrange and realign some things in my life and just get with him. Because when we really believe, we really pray. Prayer should never be our last resort. It should always be our first resort. And so we head into this week, a time of prayer. And I encourage you, as Pastor Jacob mentioned, tonight, 6 to 7, we'll be in the north wing in the kids' chapel praying. And then the facilities, you can come to this place and pray whenever you want to, okay? Throughout the, whenever, just come. If the doors are open, come. And you say, Pastor, I want a closet to go pray in, then you have the whole building to choose from. It'll be your place. But specifically, we're going to come and we're going to just pray and seek the face of God. I have a friend of mine who is a pastor. He's a pastor at one of the campuses at Topeka First Assembly. And we were having some audio problems this morning, so I had a video for you that I wanted to show you. But Pastor Pete, incredible guy, fun, good friend. And him and his wife had a baby not quite a year ago, coming up on a year. I can't remember exactly how old little Mason is now. But they'd had some troubles, some problems in their pregnancies. They'd lost several babies, and Mason went through to term and was born, and so they were elated and they were excited. And then in the following days after his arrival, there was some concern, and they did some testing and they met with KU Med, and they said, "Hey, listen, we need to tell you that it looks like Mason has cystic fibrosis." And it was a call on a Friday afternoon, and the doctor said, "Whatever you do this weekend, do not get on Google and search out what that is." Well, that's like putting us in "don't touch wet paint," right? And so they did what the doctor said not to do, and they searched it out, and immediately fear came over them because of the diagnosis of what that could mean. And I can remember on that Tuesday, they brought Mason to our staff meeting, and all the pastors gathered around Pete and Whitney and Mason, and we laid our hands on them and we prayed for them and asked God to do a miracle. And time went on and the diagnosis didn't change, and it became more clear of what it meant. And they had prescriptions and they had medications and everything they were to give Mason. And Whitney tells the story that she was home cleaning house and she was vacuuming. And on the end table was a bunch of his medication, and some of it had gotten spilled. And so she was cleaning it up and she was vacuuming. And she really felt that God said, "Don't give Mason any more of that medicine. I've healed him." And she's going, "No way. I'm not going to be responsible for that." And so they continued on giving medication, and they told the story, you know, that some of the pills that they would give him, they'd have to put it in applesauce, and they had to make sure that he swallowed it, because if he didn't swallow it, it would eat into his mouth, and he would begin to bleed from his mouth. And so the severity of this deal, and she was cleaning again, and God spoke to her again, "I told you, I've healed Mason." And so Whitney made the determination to pull Mason from his medicines and didn't tell anyone. And they came and went to the doctor, and none of his levels had changed. And this is a matter of days before the first appointment, since she had done that. And nothing, all his levels were good. I mean, like extremely healthy good, like no sign of cystic fibrosis good. And so she's going, "Hey, Pete, I have something to tell you on the way home from the doctor. God spoke to me a couple weeks ago and told me to pull the medicine from Mason. And I did." And Pete's like, "What?" And so they began to walk this thing out. But she knew that she knew that she knew she had heard from God. And to this day, I wish I had the video. It's so powerful. Mason is this bubbly, healthy little boy. And it's so fun to hear Pete and Whitney tell their story, because they'll go to KU Med and they've met with the doctors, and they'll ask them point blank, "Is there any sign? Is he healed?" And guess what they have to say? "There is no sign. We don't know. We're going to be writing about this kid in medical books because there is no sign." That is the God that we serve. That is the God that we gather together and worship. Let me tell you something this morning. All things are possible to them that believe. I don't understand the timing of how God works all the time. I wish I did, but I don't. Prayer sometimes changes things, but it always changes us. And how can we not be changed when we step into the presence of a living God? And can I just encourage us in this? When we say we're going to pray for someone, pray for them then. You know what prayer does? Not only does it unleash and unlock the potential of divine intervention in our lives, but prayer acknowledges the value of a person who is created in the image of God. Believing and praying are the antidote to mind-boggling things in life. Praying is the equal opportunity endeavor. Little kids can pray. The elderly can pray. People in huts in Africa and dirt floors in India are praying. Folks in the high-rises of LA and New York are praying, as our individuals in Valley Center praying. May your belief in the Almighty be strong on the mountaintop, but stronger in the valley. And perhaps as we move to the conclusion, if I get the worship team to come this morning, perhaps you're here today and you need a spiritual breakthrough. you would categorize your spiritual life right now as dry. It's pretty lifeless. Maybe on life support. And you're like, I know there's been times I can see in the rear view of my life. There's mile markers in the rear view mirror of when God touched me in ways that only God could touch me. But I don't want to live with my eye focused on the rear view mirror. I want to live with my eye focused on the prize that is before me. I want a breakthrough. Perhaps you're here this morning and you need to believe for the first time. And the awesome thing with that is that the God we worship, the God we serve, the God who redeems us is a come as you are type of God. He says, don't get your house in order and then come. Just come as you are and let me do a work from the inside out that transforms you. Not you attempting to masquerade from the outside in. Perhaps as you've sat and reflected throughout this message, you're just hungry. You're hungry for more. Can I encourage you this morning as we head into a time of worship? Maybe you're not used to coming to the altar. Maybe that's a good place for you this morning, just to come and find a place of prayer. Maybe it's you changing your location this morning and making that seat that you're sitting in into an altar and turning around and just kneeling and saying, God, I'm driving a stake into the sand, into the floor this morning, saying, I want a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough in my life. I don't want to be where I'm at when it comes to January 4th, 2016. I don't want to say I am the exact same person I was a year ago. I want to be like you. I want to know you more. In the coming weeks, I'm praying that the Lord raises a level of conviction in what He can do. I'm praying that in a couple weeks, as we partner together, we see God do incredible things in us corporately. It's going to be awesome. But each day, it starts with us taking a step closer to Him and emptying ourselves of us and making room for more of Him.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.